The following is a lecture on Prabhupada's arrival in the USA, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on September 30th, 2010, in New Delhi, India.
Shri Guru Shri Jata Dada Kamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sagana Raguna Tanvita Sadaita Zavaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Vada Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha So, this is the day 1965, when Srila Prabhupada arrived in America.
Hare Krishna, jo Hindi mein baat karna chahte hain, piche baith jaye. Bhakta Pandit Hindi mein baat karte hain. Jo Hindi mein baat karna chahte hain, kripa karke udhar baith jaye.
So they'll be doing a separate secondary section. Okay. So this is a very, very special day to remember the great pastimes of our most beloved Dhanuracharya, in Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. Now he landed in the Boston Harbor to fulfill the order of his spiritual master. To fulfill the order of the spiritual master is the life and soul of the disciple. That is his only thought. How can I carry out the order given to me by my spiritual master? I may die by doing it, it's all right. Srila Prabhupada was willing to die if he had to. And he almost did die on the ship. Two heart attack. He almost died. I remember Prabhupada told us in Atlanta, I was there with Prabhupada in Atlanta one time. And he told us what he was thinking when he came to America. He said that my godbrother, this was Swami Ban actually, he had gone to UK for preaching. And he met one Lord Zetland, Marquis of Zetland. And this Marquis of Zetland, he was familiar with Vedic culture. He had served during British rule as the governor of Bengal. So he had some knowledge of Vedic culture. So when he went to Swami Van there in the UK, he said, "Swamiji, can you make me a Brahmin?" See, he's already a British lord. He's thinking, if I can become an Indian Brahmin also, I will get extra status. So he asked, "Swamiji, could you make me a Brahmin?" He said, "Yes, no problem. Simply, you must follow these principles: no illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, and no gambling." Lord Zetland immediately replied, "Impossible." So Prabhupada was remembering this when he came to America, and he told us that he was thinking, as soon as I tell these American people no illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, and no gambling, they'll immediately say, "Swamiji, go home." But then Prabhupada said, "But I was thinking, let me try." So when I heard Prabhupada say that, I said, "Jai!" And then the whole room went jai. Because I knew that that's why we were saved, you see. If Prabhupada had not tried to do the impossible thing, where would we be? But because he dared to do the impossible thing, to convince the Western people to give up illicit sex, meeting, intoxication, gambling, which is their very life and soul. So therefore I said jai, and everyone said jai with great enthusiasm, because that's how we were saved, by Prabhupada's enthusiasm to carry out the order of his spiritual master. It was not easy for Srila Prabhupada in those days. He had no money. Well, he had some money, 40 rupees. What can you buy with 40 rupees? Actually, he didn't spend any. He saved it until he got back to India. He used it for a cab fare when he came back to India. All he had was the Bhagavatam that he had printed, those wonderful classics, those New Delhi Bhagavatams with all the mistakes and cheap printing, the most valuable books you could ever imagine, those original brown Bhagavatams. So Prabhupada had those Bhagavatams, he had the order of his spiritual master, and he had no means to be successful, but he stuck to the order of his spiritual master. So this is the key. This is the lesson we can learn from Prabhupada's arrival in America. That ever order I have gotten from my spiritual master, I must accept it as my life and soul. Srila Prabhupada explains that one should constantly meditate on the order he has received from his spiritual master and worship that order. You understand? Worship that order. So to receive an order from the spiritual master, that's the greatest blessing. Of course, the general orders are there in Prabhupada's books for all of us. Not that, well, I'm not a Prabhupada disciple, I missed the chance to get a direct instruction. No. Prabhupada's direct orders to everyone who wants to be his follower, right there in the book. Of course, there's a special flavor when you got a direct order from Prabhupada. Some of us were lucky in that sense. Somehow or other, we had that opportunity. So now we have to share whatever mercy we have gotten from Prabhupada with all of you. Just like Prabhupada told me, this is in my initiation. I got initiated by a letter. Prabhupada was in London and I was in Texas in the U.S. He accepted me by mail and he sent me my japa mala through my post. Mail order disciple. And it would have been nice to have the beads directly in his hand, you know, but that I realized I had a very golden opportunity that I was by mail, because now I can send my Guru Dakshina and I get to write Prabhupada a letter. And Prabhupada answered me back. I got a personal letter. I sent him my Dakshina. He noted, Prabhupada was such a fucka businessman for Krishna, that I sent him three checks. He noted exactly the amount of each check to the penny. I received these three checks for this amount, this amount, this amount. Just to make sure that there was no checks were lost, somebody stole a check somewhere. Prabhupada was very meticulous. He gave me the exact amount of all three checks that was sent in. And then he gave me the most wonderful blessing. I was there with a very fired up preacher. Perhaps you have heard of that legendary Vishnu Janaswami. And so when I wrote Prabhupada, I must have expressed something of a desire to spread this Krishna consciousness. That's how Vishnu Jan was always thinking, how to spread Krishna consciousness. He was constantly absorbed in that 24 hours a day. So Prabhupada wrote me back with the most wonderful order you could ever imagine. He said, I can see, of course it's not my qualification, it's just his mercy. He said, I can see that you're a very sincere, enthusiastic boy, very eager to spread this Krishna consciousness movement. He said, now, if you will continue enthusiastically as you are doing, surely Krishna will bless you. Now, what a wonderful order I got from Prabhupada. Prabhupada ordered me that you must always be enthusiastic, and if you will do that, you're going to get a reward from Krishna. He promised me. I mean, wow, what an amazing mercy I got. So, you know, I can tell you that especially since Prabhupada has left the planet, there's been so many ups and downs, so many upheavals in our society. But I never lost my enthusiasm because Prabhupada's order was always there. Continue enthusiastically as you were doing, and surely Krishna will bless you. So everyone can take such orders, you see. So Prabhupada was empowered by the order he received from Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and each and every one of us, we can also be empowered by orders we receive from our spiritual master and the instructions in Prabhupada's books. Here's another really good one that I really love this one. In the Bhagavatam, before I give this, I'd like to ask you, what is the name of our society? The International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Yes. ISKCON. Yes. We are members of ISKCON. All right. I love that name, ISKCON. In the U.S., you can pay the government and get a special license plate with whatever you want on it, with six characters. So we got a license plate, ISKCON, on our license plate. We drive around ISKCON. So anyway, that's the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So what does that mean the members are supposed to be? We are supposed to be Krishna conscious, right? Okay. I mean, it seems pretty logical, but I just want you to be aware that that's what we are supposed to be, Krishna conscious. Okay. Now here's the order that Prabhupada gives in his Bhagavatam purport, or the instruction. He says, a Krishna conscious being. Now who is that supposed to be? That's supposed to be us. Because we're members of the Krishna consciousness society. A Krishna conscious being. Now here's his definition. And now we can see how Krishna conscious we are and how much we're not Krishna conscious. He says, a Krishna conscious being is always thinking how to deliver the entire suffering humanity back to home, back to Godhead. Are you always thinking that way, Prabhu? Matajis, are you always thinking that way? You see, this is a Krishna conscious being. He's always thinking of how to deliver the entire suffering humanity back to home, back to Godhead. That's his meditation. And then Prabhupada says, even if he is not successful in doing so, his perfection is guaranteed. And anybody who follows him will also become perfect and go back to Godhead. So, this is the order then. If you're Krishna conscious, If you're truly Krishna conscious, you must always think of the welfare of all living beings. You can't just think about your own eating and sleeping. You have to always meditate on what I can do, how can I live my life in such a way to maximize out my reaching out to help people become Krishna conscious. That's what it means. The more I can preach and the less I'm concerned about eating and sleeping, see, that is my success in Krishna consciousness. So from Prabhupada's lila, you see, we can derive great inspiration. Even if we think it's not possible to spread this Krishna conscious movement, it's not possible to make devotees, what can I do? Who am I? Even if we feel totally incompetent, that's all right. Just try to act as a messenger of your spiritual master and the previous acharyas. And then by their mercy, you will be successful. That's a fact. You will be successful. If I think I'm the doer, I'm a great preacher, you won't be a very good preacher, I can tell you right now. And if you think, I'm completely incompetent, what can I do? Krishna, help me. Then you'll become a very good preacher. Mukham karoti vachalam pangum lamagete yeginam yat kripa tamangam deishi guru dinatanam. You see? What does Prabhupada say in the Nectar Devotion? Quoting Rupa Goswami. It's actually Rupa Goswami is saying, I am just trying to spread this Krishna consciousness movement all over the world, although I am completely incompetent and unfit to do so. Prabhupada said this should be the attitude of all the preachers of the Krishna consciousness movement. That means the more that I think that I'm fit and competent to preach, the less I'm potent to actually do it. And the more that I feel myself unfit and incompetent, simply acting as a messenger of the previous acharyas, to that extent, I'll be empowered, you see. So, we have to develop our consciousness in such a way that we can achieve the maximum empowerment. So we have to study Srila Prabhupada's attitude, Prabhupada's lila. In this way we can get empowerment. Prabhupada would not take credit for anything. He said, I cannot take any credit for all the success of this movement. I cannot take any credit. But if I have any credit at all, it is that I always remain loyal to my spiritual master's order. I never deviated from his order, you see. So Prabhupada gave all credit to his spiritual master. So we understand that by strictly adhering to the order received from Guru Maharaj, you see, that's how one becomes powerful in Krishna consciousness. That's how one can have a powerful, uplifting impact on the global consciousness. And this world really desperately needs Krishna consciousness. This is a horrible dungeon, this material society. This planet is a dungeon of demons right now. It's hell. It's not a place of enjoyment. People are suffering like anything. They're trying to pretend that they're happy. That's it. With their iPhones and their iPods and their laptop computers and their whatever they think they can make their life enjoyable, you see. Sex life, tight blue jeans, whatever it may be, you see. Now I can enjoy. But actually, they will never be happy. You cannot enjoy this place. Forget it. You cannot enjoy this material world. I don't care how rich you are. I don't care if you're a famous movie star. I don't care who you are. You cannot enjoy this material world. Even Brahma cannot enjoy this material world. And he has unlimited power and wealth within this universe. Unlimited wealth and power. So if even Brahma cannot enjoy with all his facility, what you can do with your teeny-weeny little bit of facility, what you can do to enjoy. Even if you're a multi-billionaire, what you can do to enjoy. You see? You cannot enjoy. Ah, Brahma Bhuvanaloka Punaravartin Arjuna Mamupechirukonteya Punarjanmanavidyate. All the way from the highest planet down to the lowest planet, Patala Loka. Simply mystery. So, but Punarjanmanavidyate, one who takes to my abode, never takes birth again. Now some people say, well, if you never take birth again, then how we could fall in the first place? Well, you can fall once. There's a saying in English, once burned, twice shy. A little child may stick his hand in the fire one time, but he won't do it twice, you see. So we can fall one time from the spiritual. No one will fall twice from the spiritual world, you see. You can fall once, but not twice. A curious child may stick his hand in the fire. Oh, it's so beautiful. But will he do it twice? You couldn't pay him to do it a second time. He learned his lesson. Once burned, I learned. So now we've been burned. We've been badly burned by birth, death, old age, and disease. And it hurts. Oh, it hurts. So many diseases. We're constantly being tormented. Just like I came to Vrindavan looking, I'm all excited about being back in the Dham. I put a little mosquito repellent on and I got an allergic reaction. I got wherever I put the mosquito repellent, I got my body erupted. And still erupted, actually. And we, you know, you can't enjoy this material. You see, even when you're engaged in Krishna's service, the material miseries will come. You see? So what does Krishna say? This non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress and their disappearance in due course are like the appearance and disappearance of the winter and summer seasons. One must learn to tolerate them, O Sayana Bharata, without being disturbed. So we simply have to tolerate. That's all we can do. We have to endure. But by proper consciousness, we can utilize all the ups and downs of this material world to become more and more Krishna conscious. There's some amazing thing in the sailing. Has anybody ever gone out sailing a boat, their own little boat? I never did, but it's a popular sport in some parts of the world. People go sailing on the weekend. So the amazing thing is in sailing, the wind is coming like this. See? You can sail with the wind, or you can sail into the wind also. Did you know that? You can actually sail into the wind. It's amazing how you can do that, but you can actually take the wind and sail into it. Use the power of the wind to go into the wind. So what can we learn from this? This means no matter what's happening to you in this material world, whether the wind is flowing with you or it's flowing against you. You see? Whether you're enjoying or you're suffering. See, we're enjoying, the wind is going with us. We're suffering, it's going against it. So a Krishna conscious person, it doesn't matter the wind, whether things are going his way or they're going not his way, he can use both situations to advance himself in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 5, text number 20, Naprahya shat priyam prapya nodvajat prapya cha priyam stirabhuji rasangmudho ramavidvamanistitaha. One who does not rejoice upon obtaining something pleasant, nor lament upon obtaining something unpleasant, who is self-controlled, unbewildered, and who knows the science of God, is already situated in transcendence. So we should not be affected by these dualities. When things go great, we shouldn't be all excited. Oh, I really deserve this. I'm great. No. Krishna's mercy. When things go bad, oh, I didn't deserve this. Why Krishna is doing this to me? No. It's also Krishna's mercy. One has to develop this vision to see that everything is the mercy of Krishna. And if you do that, step by step by step, you will become deeper and deeper in transcendental trance of Krishna consciousness. Samadhi. And the following verse elaborates a little further. It's text number 21. Bhagyasparsheshvatakhtatman vinyatyatmani yatsukam sabrahma yuga yoktakma sukam akshayam ashnute. Such a liberated person is not attracted to material sense enjoyment. Why? Because he's tasting the pleasure within. And then Krishna says, in this way, the self-realized soul, sukam akshayam ashnute, enjoys unlimited happiness. Why? Sabrahma yuga yoktatma, because he concentrates on the Supreme. So learn this art. Don't take your happiness from the externals. Don't take it from the externals. Learn to take your happiness from your relationship with Krishna. That I'm his eternal servant. And everything that happens to me is his kindness to help me come closer and closer to him. Develop this vision. This is the vision. This is a part of the vision. We cannot understand the complete, total vision of great acharyas like Srila Prabhupada. But by studying the Shastra, we can understand at least part of the vision that Srila Prabhupada had when he arrived in America in 1965 and why he was successful in preaching. So I can ask now if there's any questions. And I'll need a live hearing aid to whisper in my right ear because my hearing's not very good. Somebody can hear the question and come and tell me in my right ear. You can do that, Sriram. Yeah. If there's any questions, please ask your questions. All right?
Trying to cure the disease.
Actually, yeah, there's nothing wrong with curing the disease. It's like I'm trying to cure this rash right now. I mean, it's definitely distracts me, but you may cure it, you may not be able to cure it. So if you can't cure, that means you roll over and become defeated. If I cannot cure the disease, if I can't find a doctor who can help me, then what can I do? I have to take it as Krishna's mercy. Just like I have this deafness problem. I've tried for years to solve this problem. And still I'm going on deafness problems. So we just have to say, well, I must have done some sin in my previous life, and this way I'm burning off the reactions of my previous sin. Tatte nukam vam susamikshavano punjanna evatmakatam vapakam tadagbapavir vadangmadaste jivetamo yuktis My dear Lord, those devotees who are constantly awaiting your causeless mercy to be bestowed upon them, who are constantly offering you respectful obeisances from within the innermost cores of their hearts. You see, who are taking the suffering as a reactions from their previous sins, you see, and constantly in a mood of gratitude, an attitude of gratitude, are always offering obeisances. Such souls, they are already situated in transcendental consciousness. They already have their ticket to Goloka, you see. So the key is, when there is difficulty, instead of thinking, Krishna, why are you doing this to me? Take it as his mercy. Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't try to cure it. Bhaktivinoda Thakur instructs that disease, fire, and death should immediately be eradicated. So if there's disease, immediately you should go to a doctor, a qualified doctor. Immediately. And what if the doctor can't cure it? You give up Krishna consciousness? No. If it can't be cured, you have to tolerate it and see it as the mercy of Krishna. That's all. One should try to eradicate any disease. Death, fire, and disease, all three are not very good. They should all be eradicated immediately. If you cannot eradicate, you have to tolerate. That's all. Any other questions? How do you balance depending on Krishna's mercy? Endeavoring, yes. So this is a very good question. How do you balance endeavoring and depending on Krishna's mercy? Remember the notable example of Arjuna or of Srila Prabhupada. You endeavor to your fullest capacity and then depend on Krishna for the result. It's not that, well, I'll just depend on Krishna. I won't do anything. I'll just sit with Krishna. No, that means you want Krishna to be your servant. No, you must endeavor to your fullest capacity. And then depend on Krishna, how that will come out. What will be the result of your endeavor? Your endeavor must be there. You must work very hard to be Krishna conscious and to serve your spiritual master and to push forward this movement. You must work very hard. You must endeavor very hard for those things. But leave the result in the hands of Krishna. Because your endeavor will not be what will bring the result. Your endeavor is for your purification. If you don't endeavor, you won't become purified. If you don't endeavor for Krishna, you will endeavor for sense gratification. Endeavor we must do. By our very nature, we must endeavor. So if we don't endeavor for Krishna, we will endeavor for sense gratification. So we must endeavor for Krishna with full energy, with full determination, with full enthusiasm. Just like Prabhupada said in his final days of Vrindavan, he told us, they say the old man is dying in Vrindavan, but I am beating in my madanga and it can be heard all over the world. Prabhupada was endeavoring to push forward this movement and revolutionize this planet up until his last breath. Practically speaking, up until almost the very end, he was fully absorbed in doing everything he could to push forward this movement on this planet. And who knows, even up to the last minute, but Prabhupada was always endeavoring to push forward this movement, that's the thing. So you make your endeavor to preach very nicely, to do your first class service, make very, very hard, work very hard, and then depend on Krishna for the result. And that's the balance. Any other questions?
How can you overcome atyahar, overeating?
Yes. Well, the first answer is only take Krishna Prasadam. That's step number one. And step number two is just take what you can easily digest. You find you're eating so much that you get all bloated, you get all spaced out, that you're eating more than you need. Prabhupada said, just take what you can easily digest. Now, for one devotee, that could be a huge plate. For another devotee, it's a little tiny. Depends on the devotee. Depends on your bodily metabolism. Depends on your service. So, the main thing is just to take what you can easily digest. And I mean, you shouldn't also, if you find that you're becoming fatty, then obviously you have to do something. I mean, you're turning into a blubber ball, you don't want to do that. You know, you become a big fatty, you know, not very healthy. So one should, another trick that I've learned is this. There are many different tastes. There's the sweet taste, the salty taste, the sour taste. You know, there's so many varieties of taste in eating, isn't it? Many wonderful tastes in eating. But there's another wonderful taste, and that's called the taste of fasting. Fasting also gives a flavor in the mouth. Did you notice that? There's a certain flavor from gulab jamun, a certain flavor from rice, dal, and chapatis. And fasting also has a certain flavor in the mouth. It's delicious. Just like all the other flavors. So if you just add that prep to your repertoire of preps, then you'll be okay. You can relish that taste also, the taste of fasting. It's also very delicious. It really tastes good, fasting. Learn to relish that taste too. That will help. You can relish fasting. See, our fasting is feasting, and our feasting is fasting. So fasting is also a feast for us. And feasting is also a fed. So you just got to be transcendently situated beyond the level of eating and not eating. And see both of them in a very enlivened, jolly way. You see? One sannyasi, he said, eat to live, but don't live to eat. So, it's not that I'm just living for my next meal, you know. I don't have any happiness in the holy name. I don't have any happiness in my service. I don't have any happiness in my devotee relationships. I'm just thinking, when can I eat again? Then I'm not very advanced in Krishna consciousness, obviously. So you have to learn to relish everything. You relish your prasadam, that's very good. Relish the service also, just like you relish prasadam. Learn to relish every aspect of Krishna consciousness. Of course, in the beginning, the prasadam is the easiest way to connect. But gradually, we should see how everything is prasadam. We can eat prasadam 24 hours a day. Hearing is also taking prasadam. Bowing down to the deities is also taking prasadam. Chanting our rounds is taking prasadam. Distributing books is prasadam. Harinam Sankirtan is prasadam. It's all prasadam. I can eat prasadam 24 hours a day, you see. In this way, you learn how to take prasadam 24 hours a day. By seeing everything as prasadam, all your devotional activities, Navavidha Bhakti, you see. 9 different types of prasadam, hearing, chanting, remembering, all these are all prasadam. So in this way, you can conquer the tongue. And it's a very important thing. Jiva, though, it all begins with your tongue. If the tongue is uncontrolled, you'll never master, you'll never conquer your senses. You'll always remain a godown, so you can't conquer your tongue. But if you can conquer your tongue, your mind will be conquered. Actually, there's a Hindi saying, if you conquer your mind, you can conquer the whole world. So if you can conquer your tongue, you can conquer your mind. If you conquer your mind, you can conquer the whole world. So just conquer your tongue, you can conquer the whole world. For Prabhupada. So that's a very important thing, conquering the tongue. Only take prasad, what is necessary for good health, and talk about Krishna 24 hours. Much chitta, mangita, prana, Bhavdayanta parasparam katayantascha manyacham tashanticha ramanticha. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me, and their lives are surrendered unto me, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss by enlightening one another and conversing about me. So that's pretty good prasadam there. Krishna Gata. You can enjoy that prasadam unlimitedly. Krishna Gata. All right. Any one more question? Okay.
How to conquer anger?
How to conquer anger?
The way to conquer anger is to get envy, get angry at the demons. Oh, those rascals. It's like I'm pretty riled up about old Stephen Hawking, you know. They say he's the biggest brain in the whole world, and he says that everything comes, the universe comes out of absolutely nothing. So I'm at war with him. I'm at war with Stephen Hawking right now, trying to defeat him and convince the world that that Stephen Hawking doesn't know what he's talking about. So that's called using anger against the atheists. We should be very angry about the abortion clinics, the slaughterhouses. Let's see. I'm very angry that they're killing the cows, that they're killing the babies, they're dying. I'm very, very angry about these things. And my whole life is dedicated to putting a stop to this material civilization, because I'm very angry about it. Very angry about it. It disturbs me like anything that they're killing the cows and raping the women and killing the babies. I'm very, very disturbed. So you should use that anger to fight against the material civilization. But in terms of your own sense enjoyment, you should be very tolerant. You should be very, very tolerant. Don't become angry over your sense enjoyment. See, everything is the mercy of Krishna, and you'll never be angry. If someone offends you, you should think, actually, I offended him in a previous lifetime. Now he's just delivering to me my karma, my reaction. So I'm not angry at him. Why should I be angry? I must have offended him before that, and now he's simply paying me back. So in this way, a devotee is not angry, you see. He sees everything as Krishna's arrangement to purify him. Does that help you? Okay. All right. There's some more questions. Okay.
While explaining one answer, you said that you use the term revolution. Revolution. So, in actual instruction, first verse, the one sloka Prabhupada quotes where the word viplavo is used. So, can you explain it further? Like how?
The word viplava is there in the Bhagavatam. And it's also in nectar of instruction. Yeah, I know that. I love that word, viplavaha, revolution. I don't know what verse he's talking about, but I know in the Bhagavatam it's there. Which, you know what verse number it is in Nectar of Instruction?
Last, verse number one, NOI verse number one, when Prabhupada is in the last paragraph, there is two verses he quotes. So
that's the Bhagavatam verse. Yeah. Yeah, so in the Srila Prabhupada gives in the Bhagavatam the word viplavaha, revolution. That this Bhagavatam is meant for bringing about a revolution in the misdirected lives of this world's civilization in this way. So this word revolution means a complete transformation of the human society. This revolutionary idea is further explained by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He explains there in Bengali, he says, I'm trying to remember the Bengali, he says, I'll give you the English. This Krishna consciousness movement is a tidal wave of prema, and it will inundate the entire world, drowning everyone, whether they are lame, invalid, or blind. So that is revolution. That is predicted by Krishnadas Kaviraj. This entire world will become inundated by a tidal wave of Krishna prema. That's called revolution. And the whole world becomes Krishna conscious. This is a cultural revolution. Now it is a culture of sense gratification. The whole society is based on sense gratification. Revolution means the whole human society should be based on Krishna consciousness. That is revolution. Now do you understand revolution? Yeah. Yeah.
What are the manifestations of a person who is into Krishna consciousness?
What are the manifestations of a person who is into Krishna consciousness?
A Krishna conscious person is always thinking of the welfare of all living beings. He's not just thinking of himself. He's always thinking of how, as I explained in the beginning of the lecture, he's always thinking how to deliver all of suffering humanity back to home, back to Godhead. That is a Krishna conscious person. He's not thinking only for himself. He's thinking, how can I live in my life in such a way to do the greatest good for all living beings by sharing Krishna with them. Jari deka tari kaha Krishna upadashamara gaya guru hoyutaya desh. Whomever you meet, instruct him in the teachings of Krishna. In this way, on my order, you become guru and deliver the people of this world. So, how much one is eager to give Krishna to others. That is Krishna consciousness.
What could be other manifestations in a person? Internally.
He says, what could be some other manifestations?
Yes. That is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhakti pareshtanu bhava bharaktir anyatta chai shatraka eka kalaha Prapadyamanashyatastanashushpushti-tushti-pushti-chitabayo-nagasam. There are three things that are manifested in a Krishna-conscious person. The first thing is bhakti. He develops love or attraction, you see. He's attracted. Just like a boy is attracted to a girl, a girl is attracted to a boy. A Krishna conscious person is attracted to Krishna. When he sees Krishna, he just goes, wow, he's so beautiful. You see, a Krishna conscious person is in a state of awe when he sees the deity. When he hears the kirtan, his heart melts in ecstasy. Oh, like he's in ecstasy. That is Krishna consciousness. And then when his heart is melting like this on the for the kirtan, with the deity, seeing the devotees, seeing a spiritual master, when he becomes so enlivened by these things, then he learns how to experience Krishna within everything. That's the second item, pareshanubhavo. He learns how to connect with Krishna within everything. Every sight, every sound, every smell, every taste, and every touch. He learns how to connect with Krishna within everything. In the third item, viraktir, he becomes attached from sense enjoyment. He doesn't care a fig for sense enjoyment. You bring a beautiful naked woman before him, he doesn't care. He doesn't care. Because he's getting so much rasa from Krishna consciousness, so much taste. That is Krishna consciousness. All right, 9 o'clock. We'll stop here. And we thank you all so much for your participating in this Krishna consciousness process. Please do so with ever-increasing determination, enthusiasm, and patience. And we can guarantee you, you will be successful. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.